Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, prince of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And these descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descendants from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descendant from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him, who had the promise. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal man, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Interesting compilation of scripture for titled The Superiority of Christ. The Superiority of Christ. As context, as a matter of fact, let's go to Genesis 14:18. Abraham had a nephew by the name of Lot. A consortium of kings came where Lot was living, and they conquered the whole land, and they took Lot, and they took all kinds of spoils. Word got back to Abraham. Abraham took 318 men and retrieved his nephew. So Gideon wasn't the only one with the 300 men syndrome. God liked 300 men. I don't know why. Well, I know maybe one reason, Brother John, to show that it's not numbers. It's really his power. Amen. 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 So Abraham took his men, his servants, who were not trained soldiers, and he retrieved Lot. And on the way back from retrieving Lot, he had a couple of visitors. The king from Sodom wanted to pay him. And if you read the text closely, he said, I can't take no money from you because I'm not going to have you say that you made Abraham rich. God is the only one who can take care of me. Genesis 14:18-20. Can I have somebody read that for me? Big guy, come on.
Of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything.
Interesting. Thank you. Now, Abraham was the progenitor, father of the Jewish nation. And if we don't watch it, we think that they were the only one who was worshiping God. Interesting. But there was a Gentile that was worshiping God right alongside Abraham. Do you know what? Sometimes I think we get the Christianese thing going. This is my God. This is how I'm worshiping him. And can't nobody worship him like me. Did you hear what I'm saying? If you don't worship him the way I worship him, no. You're not doing it right, really. God has a remnant everywhere that's worshiping him. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be guy with the saggy pants, it don't matter. God got his people everywhere. And our business is to be like Abraham, to discern when we see somebody worshiping God. Say, this is it. Rather than saying, if you're not doing it my way, you need to stop. Y'all need to listen to me. I was actually hung up on some homosexual things, that if you're homosexual, I don't like you. Did you hear me? And God showed me. Who in the world are you to dislike somebody? I'm calling people from every walk of life, and who are you to dislike somebody? You better discern by the spirit that I gave you. If you need to give a word from God, you better be able to do it. Amen. I'm getting free today, y'all. Let's roll this out again. Arabs, I don't know why, after September 11th, I just had a thing for them, man. You done kill all these people, and I'm mad at you. And I see them in the stores. My wife will count this, and I'm ashamed about that. I'm not going in that store because they own that store. Did you hear me? I ain't got no business being prejudiced like that. Did you hear me? Because you don't worship God like I think you ought to worship God, number one. And number two, you in some other place where I don't think you ought to be. And the Bible says God sends everybody to everywhere according to his will in Acts. He had determined all the boundaries of man. And you're going to tell me because you over here and I'm over here that I'm supposed to dislike you? No. The Spirit of Christ holds his hand out to everybody. Melchizedek, a Gentile, is worshiping the Most High God. He's not from Abraham. He's outside of Abraham, worshiping the true and the living God. I feel better now. I done told on myself, Sister Woodmore, I feel better. I will no longer be a racist in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am free today. Amen. Okay. Amen. Melchizedek, the reason why he's kind of a type of Christ is because he popped on the scene, Sister Woodmore, and I don't see in the scripture nowhere in this section where it talks about his father or his mother. I don't see nowhere in this section of scripture where it talks about the beginning of his priesthood or the ending of his priesthood. Therefore, it says to me he could be a very good type of Christ who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the reason they say he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek because no beginning and no end. He makes a great type. That means he's a priest forever. If he saves me, he's a priest forever. If I'm in trouble, he's a priest forever, according to what this says. I feel free indeed. Go to Luke chapter 9, verse 49. Our tendencies, this actually shows again our tendency to, if you're not with my group, Sister Tina, you need to stop doing what you're doing because you ain't worshiping right. Luke Luke chapter 9, verse 49. Somebody read that for me in the English Standard Version.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Now, he was working the works of the living God, and the disciples say, no, you need to stop that because you are not from this side. Are we guilty of that? You doggone, you're right. You're right. We are guilty of that. Yeah, that was a nice way of putting that. Unless you're doing what I want you to do, you are not in where I think you ought to be. And I don't know nothing from nowhere. I can't save nobody. I haven't shed no blood for nobody. And I'm trying to tell you what to do. Ooh, I thought this was for somebody else, but it's really for me. Let's go to Hebrews 7, where we are, verse 23 and 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 28. You know what? I'm glad I can depend on Christ for real. Because when he saved me, I'm saved. No matter how I do the Jacob thing and try to help him out, I'm still saved. Because once he starts something according to Philippians 1:6, let's read that. Philippians 1:6 before we get there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You got your Bible, brother? Philippians 1:6. I want you to read that for me when you get it. Nice and loud. Take your time. I'm not rushing. Which sounds kind of strange for me to say I'm not rushing because I'm always rushing. It's interesting. Don't y'all be laughing at me now. Ask my wife, I'm always rushing.
Philippians 1:6.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace.
Amen. So amen. Good. You good. Well, I can understand it. If it's good, it's good. Amen. If it's good, it's good. Amen. If it's good, it's good. The scripture's clear. If he started, he could finish it. If he started me on the road of salvation, the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God, he can finish it. No matter how messed up I am, he can finish it. No matter what my mama think, my daddy think, my friends, no matter what they think on the job, he can finish it. That's why I'm glad. That's why I get happy. Okay, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. I won't stop no more, Brother Dan. I'll keep rolling. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 28. Sister Tina, can you read that for me when you get it? You know I love you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 28.
Priests were made in the way where Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily.
The priests of old, what they did, before they began to work, they had to offer for their own sin. They had to, before they begin to work, they were messed up themselves. Therefore, they had to make their own sacrifice for themselves. Amen. Then they can begin to work. But it's interesting. The last priest don't need to do that. He don't need to do that. That's why I'm saved and I'm saved. Because he didn't have to offer nothing for himself because he was sinless. Do you know how many priests and high priests there were? They were always dying. They appoint another one. They was always dying. They appoint another one. But because of Christ and his actual ministry, it never stops. We just need one priest. We don't need myriads of priests that are always covered with blood because they're always making sacrifices. Every time you sinned, you had to go and make a sacrifice, and then the priest had to help you out. But listen, and that went on and on and on and on until that final sacrifice. Jesus came. And with one sacrifice, listen, no high priest ever spilt his own blood to set the covenant right. But this last high priest spilled his own blood so that the covenant would be in his blood, which means it's permanent. That's why I'm free, Brother Allen. That's why I'm free. Interesting. The pastor said in one of the sermons, I'm not sure if you all caught this, Nehemiah, those who were doing the priestly duties, unless they can track their lineage back to where they need to go and come from Levi, they couldn't minister. They could not minister. I hope you all caught that. But this one, Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about his lineage going back. Did you hear me? We don't worry about his lineage. He's never disqualified at all. He's always qualified to save me. He's always qualified to keep me. We don't have to worry about that, Brother John's lineage. I'm safe. That struck me when you said that, Pastor. I said, Lord, thank you for Jesus. And interestingly enough, the Pharisees and all them guys depended on Abraham's lineage all the time. They got in a confrontation with Jesus and John, and they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, now, if Abraham was really your father, you would do the works that he did. If Abraham was your father, you'd love me because Abraham saw me in his day and he rejoiced. Why are you not rejoicing? Are you really of the Father or are you your father, the devil? Which one is it? Because there are two fathers, which one is yours? Thank heaven that the Father found me. The word forward, boy, it suffers some things. Forward products. One statement of their name is found on the road dead. Because reliability issues, I guess that's the issue. But the issue is that everybody in this room was found on the road dead by the Spirit of God. And saved by this priest who has his office forever. That's why we ought to rejoice. Because he found us. It is interesting that Abraham paid to Melchizedek because that says that you are greater than I am. Did you hear what I said? The greater always pays tithes the lesser pays tithes to the greater. So, it's interesting that tithes were a tenth was given because that was before it was even law, Pastor. How in the world did that happen? Before it was even given in the law, Abraham given a tenth. And if you think Abraham is your father and you have not accepted Christ, you are greatly mistaken. Because if you are after Abraham and you're part of his seed, that means that you would love God. And when he calls you, you would hear. You would hear. Amen. Amen. Now, superiority means that you're above. And this is a deep part. Well, not deep anyway. Amen. You're above, but holy, righteous, you are so above, but you condescend to come and get me. Did you hear me? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, condescends to come and get me. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ for real, you can trust him with your life. The brother just read, whatever he starts, he can finish. Superior don't mean I got my nose stuck in the air when it concerns God. It only means that for us. If you're not a Christian today, Brother Phil, I'm about through. If you're not a Christian today, this can be your day. If you're not a Christian today, this can be your day. This same priest that I'm talking about actually died for you. That was one of his priestly office duties, to die for sinners. Before I stop, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and then I'll be through. Then you start throwing stones. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. 5, 6, 7, and 8, brother. As soon as you got that, read that for me. Five, verse six, seven, and eight.
Romans 5. For while we were sleeping, we were still weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even die. Even to steal sinners. Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall saved by him with the wrath of God.
Lord have mercy. Not only you all did he die, but he got up, which was a stamp of approval of that priesthood that we talked about that would never end. That means when he got up, I not only am saved from sin because he died, but when he got up, I can live a righteous life because he got up. That's what I'm telling you today. I'm telling me too. Don't tell me I can't live a holy and righteous life. It is a choice. I have the Spirit of God to make the choice now. There are no more excuses. Amen. Brother Phil, come on, brother.